Welcome to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And Cindy, we're getting out of that sort of terrible season, and we're headed, you know, we're headed towards something good, because what's happening?
The sun is out. No, because asparagus is right around the corner, and we're all very excited about it, and we're ready for spring.
I should be doing a reading.
And the little crocuses are coming up.
Reading one of your asparagus poems.
How I love asparagus.
Exactly.
Asparagus, I love you.
How it's bursting through the soil.
Yeah. Okay.
Reaching for the sun.
It is, and then some of it gets covered with dirt, so it doesn't turn green.
All right. You want to get into the technical discussion of asparagus?
Sure.
Is that going to be the most exciting thing?
I think it would be extremely exciting because, really, asparagus is very good for you. And also, we have a wonderful spot here, the Eastern Shore, and you want salinated soil for the growth of asparagus. And so it's a perfect environment. So we get amazing asparagus here in Maryland.
Yeah, it was a funny thing that kind of landed us in realizing that asparagus in the Eastern Shore was so terrific. We've gotten it from other places around the state and other states as well, but never the quality of
We have a beautiful, it really truly is a standout product. So one of the things about working with asparagus, because it does grow in sandy soil, is obviously you want to really wash it very, very well, and we don't use the stem.
One of the things that I know you do incredibly well, home cooks don't wash things that well. Mm-hmm. And it's not because it's a matter of cleanliness, but it's a matter of using sort of mechanics to get things really clean. Washing asparagus versus washing greens, something like that. Mm-hmm. You're using different techniques,
when
right?
When we wash greens, we put them in a very large sink with a lot of cold water. And if you're washing in the summertime and you find with greens that your water is a little bit warmer, obviously, ground temperature is warmer. We put a few ice cubes even in our water when we wash our greens in the summer to make sure the water is really cold. We lift the green, we kind of gently swish them through and don't overload the amount of water that you have in the sink with the greens, and lift them up and drain them, and then clean out that sink, and that way you're not rinsing the dirty water back over the greens. So it's really the same thing with the asparagus.
But you're doing it again and again until that sink is clean.
Exactly. I do it until the water shows no more sand or dirt. Or bugs, for that matter. So, we probably wash our greens 3 to 4.
Bugs are not recommended in your salad greens.
Definitely not. And so 3 to 4 times washing the lettuce or greens. And with asparagus, we actually let it soak while we peel it. I do feel, unless it's very, very small, very, very, like a pencil small,
Let me back you up on mechanics 1 second. So with asparagus, unless it's really, really skinny, skinny stuff, like number 2 pencil size stuff, you're going to peel some of the base of that asparagus.
Mm-hmm.
And asparagus, when you get it, if it's coming all the way from out of the ground, where do you break it off? Where do you go ahead and not use part of it?
Where it naturally breaks off. So you'll see where it comes out of the ground, it's almost white. And it then goes to dark green. And that white part is absolutely not edible. That is really woody and texture and completely undesirable.
So you can feel the texture change from something woozy to something a little more tender and supple.
Right,
and that's where
you can feel it in a natural snap. So if you just try to snap it near the base of the asparagus, you'll get an indication for the rest of your asparagus. So you don't have to snap it, you can actually cut it. And also my goal is, because I want it to all be uniform, I cut them all the same length. Now you don't have to do that at home because you don't care if they're all uniform in size. And that way you won't waste any of the asparagus, which is nice when you're cooking at home.
So when you do have the pieces peeled, you're actually just peeling them and dropping them into a sink or a container of water, yeah.
We actually bring them in and put them in water immediately. And then we cut the ends off. We actually cut the very, very white part off and discard that. And then the woodiest green part we cut into and reserve for soup. So there are two uses for your asparagus for sure if you feel like making soup or some sort of a puree, because that's what you can do with the woody part, because you can get wonderful flavor from that green woody part, but you just don't want to eat it that way. So you've put it into a sink of cold water. You're now cutting it or snapping it, whichever way you choose to do. You're cutting off this woody part and saving it for soup, and you have these nice clean cut pieces of asparagus. you want to peel it very gently. You know, it's very easy with a peeler to really cut into the asparagus. You don't want to waste it. You just literally want that very outside part of the asparagus. And it also will cook, just a note, it will cook faster if it's peeled. It's very little bit of time, but it will actually cook a little bit faster if it's peeled.
So you have it soaking. You're soaking out all the sand and and all of your favorite bugs and all that sort of business that's in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not just soaking, but maybe rolling it around a little bit to try to loosen up a little bit of that business. You change that water a couple of times also?
I would. And also, you know, you realize that the outside of the asparagus has little, almost like little, it looks like little buds. Well, that will, as it pushes up through the sandy soil, will also capture some of the dirt and sand. And so that's another reason to soak it. It's not just to clean it, but it's also to get some of that that might be embedded in those little pointy spear things that are on the sides of the asparagus itself.
So let's go through basic technique on cooking it, and maybe a hot sauce and a cold sauce, because those, while there are lots and lots of fancy sort of garnishes, I think that the things that people would love to have really nice local asparagus in season, and to have one or two easy go-to preparations. And then I'm going to hit you up for quick soup. Okay, so.
I went through Bocuse's book, Robuchon's book, a lot of the great French chefs, and it all comes down to what you just said, which is a couple of simple recipes, because in the end, the asparagus is what we all love, and it really just shines on its own. It really doesn't need much more. But when you go to cook it, you want salted water. I actually have an asparagus pot at home.
Have an asparagus pot at
what's
home.
What's nice is that it's the shape, the sieve inside of the pot is shaped deep so that it's the length of the asparagus, so you can actually literally sit them in there. You can put the root end down, the tip part up, and because they are delicate, you want to cook it delicately because the tips are so tender. So if you you don't have to tie them up, that's totally not necessary. We never do, but a lot
that
of people do.
That does seem slightly foolish, because you're going to get uneven cooking from that.
I've never understood that. I want my green vegetables to move around. So at the restaurant, we use a very large pot. We don't put anything, you know, a sieve in the center. We just use a large pot with a nice amount of salted water. Let them move freely in the pot. You cook them about 2 minutes. Depends on how big and thick they are. That's what it comes down to. If they're really little, maybe 45 seconds.
Pretty salty water, too.
Yeah, very salty water. And then you have your shocking. If you're not going to eat them right away, then you need to shock them. So you need an ice water bath on the side. You would pull them out gently, again, because you don't want to hurt the tips. And shock them in ice, and then reserve them until, so you're just blanching them if you're not eating them right away. So you want to cook them al dente, so they're firm. And actually, you always want them to be firm and crisp to the bite. That's what's desirable about asparagus. You want it to retain its vegetables. It is extremely healthy vitamins, excuse me. You want it to retain its vitamins. And you do that by cooking it quickly. And not too
cooking
long.
Cooking it probably for a minute, minute and a half, something like that.
Yeah, it just depends on
how thick it is.
Yeah.
I think my favorite preparation for just simple and to enjoy the vegetable is that Lamy-Louis style. There's the great old bistro in Paris, the Lamy-Louis style, where the asparagus is warm and the vinaigrette is cold.
Yeah, I agree.
And super fresh and loaded with chervil,
and
which is almost
aromatic.
Like a very anisey, aromatic vinaigrette. And the vinaigrette has, it's like very simple, clean white wine vinegar.
It's really pretty. It just truly enhances. So it's white wine vinegar. I believe it's corn oil. There's no way there's extra virgin or any kind of olive oil in there, because that would just blow, I think it would just blow out the flavor of the
asparagus. Because really, you can just tell it's white wine vinegar and chervil. Those are the only two dominant things.
It's so good. And they bring it to you and it's in a bowl, the vinaigrette. I mean, I don't know why they give
a
you so
a big glass
much.
Kitchen bowl, yeah. Because that's Lamy-Louis.
That restaurant.
You order chicken, they bring
so
you an entire
top.
Chicken.
Well, and you order foie gras, and they bring you like four
five slices.
Five slices
of it, yeah.
Yeah, and you just can't imagine that
they
that's
bring
supposed
you
to
toast
be one portion.
Every 10 minutes, and it's a pile of pieces of toasted baguette as high as you're sitting at the table.
We could go on and on about Lamy-Louis.
But that asparagus preparation, it's just like hot out of the pot like that, and the vinaigrette's obviously ready to go on the side.
And you just spoon it on yourself, which is nice. You know, you decide what you want on there. One of my other favorites is ate at Benoit this past year, and they had truffles.
Benoit's another Paris restaurant, right? A one-star Michelin.
Great bistro. Highly, highly suggest Benoit. Ducasse owns it now. It was in the family for a very long time that originally owned it, but he bought it, I don't know, it's probably been almost 10 years ago now. They served it with sabayon. Oh, so good. And sabayon is a little tricky to make, but if you can master it, it's amazing. And I'm sure they made it with champagne or white wine. And it's simply egg yolks and the white wine and a little bit of salt and pepper, and you whisk it over a double boiler until the egg yolks become very, very thick. And you at no point would ever want your eggs to get very hot. It is probably a 15-minute process to whip those egg yolks. And they added a little bit of whipped cream, folded whipped cream into it, and fresh chopped truffle, which you could obviously skip because we're moving right out of winter truffle season right now. But if you keep that in your head for next winter. If you're using white asparagus, that is next winter. But anyway, so beautiful sauce, sabayon. So we have the vinaigrette, the sabayon, and then one of my other favorite things to do with asparagus is beurre blanc. We add a little bit of whole grain mustard to the beurre blanc just before napping it over the top of the asparagus, and a little bit of goat's cheese. At La Tour d'Argent, I had an asparagus dish.
Super, this is exotic. You came back from Paris completely freaked out about this dish.
It was so good. First of all, I've never been very fond of candied orange peel. I mean, it's just not one of my... You love that. I've always kind of
I like bitter flavors.
Hated it. And this was beautifully done. So it was orange zest and caviar and egg yolk. And the egg yolk had been boiled and passed through a tammy and just, lightly passed over the top of the asparagus. And it was just so, and beurre blanc, it was so beautiful and elegant and just one of the best things I've ever eaten. And one of the amazing things about if you can get asparagus from France is their plants are very, very old. So we know that the famous asparagus comes from Landes and the southwestern part of France. And their asparagus is huge. And we tend to think of large asparagus in our country as being less desirable.
That's because the plants are not that old, so... It's these huge, thick things, but it's only the very end of the plant when the things are gigantic like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally something like an eight foot piece of asparagus at the very end is clipped off of.
And it's just so good. And they serve white and green asparagus this time of the year. I believe actually in Germany, white asparagus is very, very popular.
Well, it's also
around this time of the year.
It takes so much longer to try to get the green up out of the ground, and the weather changes faster. It's not as mild as it is in Western Europe, so. When we come back, we're going to get a little bit further into asparagus, one or two other recipes, wine with asparagus, which is usually a total disaster if you're not really thoughtful about it. And we're going to spend a few minutes on knives. We're going to bring out the knives when we come back on Formidable Wolf on Food and Wine.